Sorry I'm late. I had a burst that got on my heart while I was out there a little while ago, and I run over to the preacher's office and tried to find it in concordance, and I couldn't do it. But the gist of the verse was, it says, "For all men have not faith." And I remember the first time I read that, I'm trying to figure that out. They said, what do you mean, for all men have not faith? Well, because this faith is not of men. Faith doesn't come out of man. It's a fruit of the Spirit of God. The only way you got faith is you got the Spirit of God. Now, I know the Bible says every man's given a measure of faith. But again, that faith is still of God. It's a gift that we're allowed to use and appropriate, but it doesn't mean it come from us. It doesn't. There's a lot of people out there, you know, they try to build up their faith. You know, they'll read over in the scripture where it says, Jesus will say over there, it said, "O ye of little faith." And they feel like the problem with their inability, you know, to do things is their little faith. Well, but the Bible goes on also says, if a man have faith of a seed of what? A mustard seed, he can say unto this mountain, you know, be cast out into the sea, and guess what? The mountain's gone. So when he was talking about, oh, ye of little faith, he wasn't simply saying that their faith was big or small or great or strong or weak or whatever. You either got it or you don't. You know, we got faith about some things we don't have faith about, you know. Jesus, of course, you know, he had faith about everything, you know. There wasn't nothing that he didn't have faith about. You know why? Because he always did that which pleased the Father. And that's the only way, you know, you can please the Father, according to Hebrews, is what? By faith. And so Jesus had faith about everything. So he said unto him, "O ye of little faith." He said, you had enough faith that you're following me, but you didn't have enough faith to cast out that devil. You didn't believe that God was going to do it. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, and that's the way it is with us. You know, thing of it is, I never saw Jesus cast a mountain into the ocean, did you? In other words, I read in the Bible where he did that. Or picked up a tree by the roots and cast that into the sea. Never seen where he did that. Right? Well, you know, if God told him to, guess what? It would have. It would have been gone. You know what I'm saying? And so faith is God appropriating us by his word. He speaks his word into our heart and we believe it. You know, when we believe God and a faith is appropriated, then you can do whatever it is that God wants you to do. So we're going to be looking at this thought about, and I'm probably going to use a little bit where we was at last week over there in Kings, where it speaks of how the man, you know, that God had the leprosy. Well, in itself, he didn't have a whole lot of faith. But faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. God had a plan for his life. God was going to do something. God was going to be glorified in him. And he worked in different people to get that faith, get him to that point where he accepted that faith that worked a miracle in his life. In other words, he got to the point, he finally said, okay, I'm going to go down in the water. Now, we know the water didn't cleanse him. That dirty water over there in the Jordan didn't cleanse him. And it wasn't his obedience that cleansed him either. But God uses obedience to show you, you know, what you need to be doing. And then he works through your obedience, you see. But it wasn't your obedience. You can do and do and do, and, you know, that's what you end up with. You know? God isn't about what we're doing. God is about what he's doing. And so God was speaking to Nahum, you know, he wanted to be glorified through him, and there's a lot of things we could look at there. But we want to look at this thing, faith that works. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of James. Can't hardly talk about faith with works without looking at James. Now, there's things about that, you know, I don't exactly know. I know that this is a book for the nation of Israel, but it's also for our, it's written to the nation of Israel, but it's also for us. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable, you know, so we know it's not to us, but it is for us, and we can learn some things here. In James chapter 2, look in verse 12. So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Well, let me tell you something. If Jesus hadn't went to the cross, you couldn't have been saved. Jesus could have believed that that was enough. But he could have believed that him dying on the cross, you know, him being buried, him being resurrected from the dead would have saved us. But guess what? He had to do more than just know it and believe it. You know what I'm saying? He had to have more. He had to put some, you know what I mean? He had to put some shoe leather on that. He had to walk up Calvary's mountain. He had to go by the whipping post. He had to go through the garden. This was a necessity, you see. So faith without the works of Christ wouldn't have saved us. He had to die. He had to shed his blood. These things had to happen. Now, I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know that I've been saved by works, but not mine. For by grace am I saved through faith, and that not of myself, you see. It's not me. It's the faith of the Son of God. And Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. He did the work. Not by works of righteousness. That ain't what the verse says. Not by works of righteousness that I have done. But it was by works of righteousness that we were saved. It was by the finished work of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And a lot of people run through life and say, well, you know, it ain't about my working. It ain't. You don't think God's got something for you to do? Huh? You don't think God means for you to work? You don't think God gives you faith to work? He gave faith to Jesus to save us, amen? That he could perform a work in us for the works that we have to do. It's faith that works. And faith, what James is saying here is not foreign. I've debated this with several different people before, and they tried to say, well, James was just a Judaizer, and he was, you know, putting people back under the works of the law. Well, he might have had that mentality, but what was written in this Bible is not like that. What was written in this Bible is for our admonition. It's to help us and to encourage us to do the right things. These are things God wants us to read and take heed to. He said right here, what does it profit my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you saying to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things that are needful to the body, what is your words profit? I mean, what good, you know, he said, oh, God's going to take care of you. Hey, God has told us what we're supposed to do already. Where's the words of faith? What does he say to do for the hungry? What does the Bible say to do for those that are naked? That's the word of faith, is it not? God told us. He spoke it. He means for us to do it. Those words should enter into us and say, it's my responsibility. They're to move me to do what God wants me to do. That's faith. That is the faith of the Word of God working through us to do what God wants us to do. God told us to preach the gospel, did He not? Huh? Hey, is it enough to say, well, I tell you what, we'll build a building. If we build a building, they'll come. Huh? That's a lot of people's mentality today, isn't it? I believe if we build this building and build a really nice building, you know what I mean? Maybe put a sign out there that got stuff that comes up. You know, what do you call them kind of signs? Jim, what do you call them kind of signs? Yeah, you know. No, I'm talking about them kind, you know, where it changes. You know, you got, you know, it's just move. Yeah, I don't know what they call them. But anyway, they're real popular in church today. We put up there with invitations and put scripture verses out there and, you know, tell them all the things we're doing this week. They'll ride by and see that and they'll come. Is that in the Word of God? Show me one place in the Word of God said, put up a sign and they'll come. No. Gospel. First two letters in gospel is what? G-O, go. Last four letters, S-P-E-L, spell. Go spell it out, amen? I mean, that's what we're to do. We've been told what we're to do. That Word of God has said go, go. The church is to go. God didn't say, sinners, come. No, we go, we tell them, come. You know? But they're not going to hear it till we go tell them. Holy Spirit has chosen us to work through us to reach this world. And buddy, we've been given a job and it takes work. And faith without works, I believe with all my heart, ain't much of faith. It's not real. It's not according to the faith that I've read in this Bible. Notice this, he says right here, he says, needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Does that make sense to you? Come on, you tell me, I have faith to move mountains. I said, well, show me, you know, let's see that mountain move. Amen. Well, I mean, you know, not today. Well, you said, I have faith. You know, I have faith to do all these things, but you ain't doing nothing. Jeffrey, you had faith enough to come out there this morning and stick your key into ignition and turn it and the car cranked. You had enough faith to get up and went out there. Most of you, I'm sure, went into the shower and flipped that thing on. You expected the water to come out. You had enough faith to do that and crawled in that thing. And had faith that soap was going to wash some of the crud off of you. And had faith that comb was going to put your hair in places. And you did all those things. And got ready, walked around, got that car, stuck that key in the ignition, expected it to crank. Huh? But I'll tell you what, you can have all the faith in the world. You stick that key in there and you got a dead battery. Guess what? You ain't going nowhere. Amen. Huh? Faith without the power of God working in your life is dead. Just like that battery. And you ain't going to get nothing accomplished. Faith without works is dead being alone. But you had faith to do that. Well, when we read the Bible where it says go, we ought to have the faith to go. When it says clothe, we are in faith to clothe. When it says feed, we'll have faith to feed. When it's all these things that God has put in the Word of God for the church to be doing, hey, if we have faith, guess what? We'll be doing it. And if we ain't doing it, we ain't got faith. We say, well, I believe that, but, you know, are you doing it? Are you doing it? And I know most of you are. Maybe all of you. I don't know. I don't know what all you do in your life. I don't know all the things God spoke to you do in your life. Some of us have little faith. God wants to do more in our lives, but sometimes you, like me, you know, I get busy about what I want to do. And I have little faith. And I think maybe I got, sometimes I get feeling like I need to help God out about a few things. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, huh? And next thing you know, you're trying to work things out yourself. Maybe you're having a problem with a child and God says pray. And you say, no, I'm going to go straighten it out. And I had that happen to me just recently. That's the reason why I'm throwing that out there. You know what always happens when Daddy sticks his nose in stuff like that? I make a mess. I get stink all over my nose and have to smell it for several days. You know? But, faith. You say, well, what should we do in situations like that? Do what the Word of God says do. Pray. Pray. Trust. And God will speak to you and tell you when to go and talk. I used to be crazy enough, when every time I went out soul winning, I expect God to put me exactly where I was supposed to be. I mean, I just believed that. I was crazy enough, I believed that, you know. I believed it yesterday. We come in here, I said, we got here, and I said, Brother Terry, will you go visit me for a little while? I said, I got a place I want to go, and went over there, and sure enough, the mama says, you know what she says? Yeah, that sounds good. I'd like for her to come out for Bible clubs. And we got like four different, you know, good visits of possibilities, you know, of people we can reach out to with the gospel. I'm just simply saying faith without works are dead. You know, I could have sat here and said, oh, well, when God laid that upon my heart, I could have just sat here and say, well, that's all right. We're busy about Bible club today. I'm going to stay right here. I'm not going to take time to go over and talk to nobody. Guess what? I wouldn't have got to talk to none of those people. I wouldn't have some things lined up for our next Bible club. Faith without works. You know, it wouldn't ever happen. I wouldn't ever had a chance to talk with him. I wouldn't ever had been able to make plans to have him at Bible club, the next Bible club we have. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest, and there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. When's the last time that we've trembled before God? When's the last time we got like old Isaiah in the temple and our knees got weak? Couldn't do anything. So, oh God, I'm a man of unclean lips. You know? Huh? When's the last time we got the Spirit of God, you know, moved upon us and we understood that God is so real and we got an account to give? That we examined ourselves and realized we got an account to give. We're going to stand before God. There's a judgment seat coming, church, for each and every one of us. You ever get fearful about that? I do every now and then. I get a little fearful about that, you know. I just know there's so many things I do that I know honestly don't please me, so I know it don't please God. And I realize there's a judgment seat coming. But see, the devils believe and they tremble. I don't think he threw that in there just for fluff, do you? Huh? He said, you say you believe. You believe in one God. He said, well, the devils believe and they tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? He said, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou? Now here's what I want you to see about that. He was justified by God. God's one that justified him. It wasn't his works that justified him. I want you to see that next part, that verse right here. Put it right here. Seest then how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Now, we all understand that perfection, biblical perfection, most of the time means completion. Everything is in place. Everything. You see, if he hadn't, he had faith to offer his son. But if he hadn't offered him, guess what? He had not completed. It was not perfect, you see. And we can have all the faith in the world that God, you know, will do things through us, but if we don't get off our seats and go do it, then we are not going to, the faith that's in us will not be made perfect or complete. I'm going to show you. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. I want you to see this. This is a Gentile church, so you know it ain't. See if I got to find it right here. I know it's in chapter 2. No, it might not be. It might be chapter 3. I'm sorry. Oh, man, I'm trying to find it. I can't. That verse just that just came to my mind. It says over here where he says, I have not yet found thy works perfect. In other words, they had things yet to do. This church did. He had not found their works perfect. In other words, they hadn't finished what they had to do. They were working, but it wasn't. God wasn't done with them. Let me see. Crowns, wives, workers. Huh? Huh? 3 and 3? Yeah. 2, 3. Yeah. Where's that again? 23? Oh. Okay. I'm still not hearing something right. Chapter 3. Be watchful, strengthen those things which remain and are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. That's right. Thank you, Brother Jim. I have not yet found thy works perfect before God. Now, that's until we have completed what God wants us to do, and we can do nothing without faith. The Bible has made it plain. There's no way to please God. And God has told them, He said, you got some things yet to do. Your works have not been found perfect. So it wasn't complete. They had things yet to do. And that's what James is talking about here. When you're looking at Abraham, his faith was not perfect. It wasn't completed until he actually offered his son. Jesus' faith was not perfect until he was actually offered onto the cross, and he actually died and actually went into hell and actually conquered death, hell, and the grave and resurrected, you see. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. We're over and looking more of a churchy church verse. It's written to the church in Ephesians 2. Mark made mention of some of these verses this morning, if you was in here for prayer. I Actually, I'm going to begin reading verse 1. And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we have had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Now, I want you to read some. Everything you read here, there's nothing that we've done. We were sinners. We were, what did he say over here? It says, we walked after the flesh, according to the spirit, you know, according to the power of the air, God of this world, the spirit that now worketh in the children of whom we also had our conversation in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, were by nature the children of wrath. That's what we done. That's what we were doing. But, and then you see, look here, and this is God now, but God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. That's an action verse. You know what I'm saying? There's action there. There's work that's moving in. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. That's something that God did, you see. That's work. Work's something you do, right? Huh? You know, what did you do yesterday? Some of you mowed your grass. Some of you worked in the garden. Some of you worked in a Bible club. Some of you visited your neighbors. Some of you did all kinds of things. But these are things that you do. And this is what God did. We were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together. Again, this is something that he did. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is work that he did. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, notice, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Faith. Faith. We're saved by grace, which is God working in us, and he did it through the faith of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that, and it's not of ourselves, it's of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the gift of God. Who's the gift of God? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and God given unto us eternal life. Who's eternal life? Jesus is that eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not. This is things that God has done. And it's not of works. It says, not of works. Now, it doesn't mean it's not of works. It means it's not of our works. Because it says, right after this, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's not works of man. For we are his workmanship. So you see, God is working. God is working. We aren't working. God is working. And created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that you being time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh, again, by the blood of Christ. And everything you see there is what God has done. With that thought, I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews. Also, I'm going to go back to Romans. Go to Romans chapter 3 first. Go to Romans chapter 3 and hold your place there. And then I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I'm sure you're very surprised we're turning there. All right, now let's turn back, and we're going to read in Romans first. Hold your place there in Hebrews, chapter 11. We're going to be reading in Romans 3. We're going to be reading in verses 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is, notice this, by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. And then I want you to drop down here to verse 30. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision, notice this, by faith. Now there's a comma. Now, are we the circumcision? And the uncircumcision, what does that say? Through faith. And that, okay? Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Now hold that, okay? Now, I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I want you to look down here in verses 11. It says, notice this. Well, actually, let's back up to verse 7, and I want you to see some things. 6. We're starting 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things come as not yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he that looketh for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now look at verses 11. So far we've said, by faith. By faith. By faith. They did something. You know what I'm saying? But look here in verses 11. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. But you remember how it started out? God told her she was going to have a child. What did she do? She laughed. She laughed. It wasn't her faith. It was the faith of Abraham. She called Abraham what? Lord. She believed. Hey, in other words, what happened is, after she felt pretty puny after that, God said, why does she laugh? She knew why she laughed. She thought that's an impossibility. God, don't you understand how old I am? I can't have children. And Abraham, I can see they talked about that a lot probably later. And God ain't lied to us yet, has he? Huh? And she believed. Now I'm going to tell you something. You remember when you was out of faith? When you was without faith, who was it to come and convince you? It was your Lord, wasn't it? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. That didn't come out of you. You think about it. Just think about it. I know you have over the years. Those of you who've been saved over the years, you've thought about when you got saved. I've always asked this question. Why me and not that fellow over there? Can you explain it? Can you explain, really, why you believed? What changed? What happened? It was God. It's supernatural. We're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. Spirit of God came along, gave you a measure of faith to believe what was promised by God, and you made a decision. You said, I need you, Lord. And the Lord said, I know you need me. That's the reason why I've been talking to you. He convinced us through faith. Sarah received strength to conceive seed, was delivered of a child because she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You know, God's promised us some things too. We can conceive seed too. We're left here to do that. You realize that, don't you? We're left here to propagate. We're left here to raise up seed. You know what I'm saying? We're here to go sow the seed in people's lives and make other believers. That's why we're here. God's told us that. And He's given us example after example in the Bible of that. And that, and this Sarah, to me, is one of great, great examples. We just got to come to this conclusion. It's all about God. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got to do it or it isn't going to get done. Amen. We just got to realize we need Him and yield ourselves. And when we read in the Word of God what He said, we yield to the Word of God and then do it. Brother Mark read over there in Psalms 119, over about how shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. He showed. And every, talking about teach us what to do. And that word of faith, as it teaches our soul, we're to yield to it. We're to do what it says. Yield to the Word of God. Yield to the Spirit of God. See, that Word is Spirit. That Word is life. Jesus said, the words which I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. Yield to the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God shows you in the Word of God what we're to do, we're to yield to it. That's what faith is. When we yield to the faith. There's a verse of Scripture I couldn't find. I was going to look at it. It says, for all men have not faith. You see, it's a gift of God. But but if the Word of God had said, all men have not the faith, that would have not been true. Because we've been given the faith of the Son of God when we got saved. But I tell you something else He gave us too. He gave us His Word. We got the written Word. This is the faith. And when the Spirit of God comes in, the faith of the Son of God. When we believe God, you receive the faith of the Son of God. It indwells you. And it's that faith that teaches you this Bible what you're supposed to do. Remember before you got saved? How many of you have read the Bible some before you got saved? Any? Yeah, I did too. Was it all Greek to you? I mean, you kind of understood some things. I guess I was kind of like Mark Twain. Mark Twain, they said, ain't what I don't understand about the Bible that bothers me. It's the things I do understand. I don't think he was saved, but he understood that the Bible said there was a hell. You know, if he wasn't right with God, he was going to go there. I think that's what bothered him, you see. Whether he ever got saved or not, I don't know. I can't say. But I do know this. After I got saved, that Word of God, it leapt off the pages. Man, I remember watching Jimmy Bob Swaggart one morning, and he had been sermonizing, you know, and I was sitting there in my seat. Now, it was a good message. He'd preached hot, hell hot and heaven sweet and all that kind of stuff. And he got done, and it wasn't that really spoke to me. They put these verses up on the screen. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, I almost jumped into that screen. I said, I done that. Hallelujah. Huh? I knew I was saved, but I didn't really understand it yet. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And I saw it, and I got, you know, what do that people call that? Assurance. You see, I was already saved. I was already believing. I already knew I was saved. I already went and told people. I got saved this weekend. If you'd asked me how, I said, I just called on God, you know. He come, met with me, and buddy, I knew I needed him, and I know he came in, you know. But now I'm getting some more, you see. I read that, and them verses, boy, just, they just, man, I did. I felt like I wanted to jump in there and give it a big hug, you know. Huh? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And man, I was kind of doing like this around the television. I said, I'm saved, amen. I'm saved. I always wanted to be saved. And know it. You see. Then you go on and you learn more. And you learn more. And that faith of Christ in you teaching us. You see, the faith of the Son of God saved us and gave us assurance. But the faith of the Son of God is also teaching us the faith that we can have some faith of our own. Your faith. See, you need to know what it is that God wants you to do. Just like Jesus knew what God wanted him to do, we each need to know what God wants us to do. And that's the faith that works in us. We're done for today. We're going to call it short. We're going to look at this some more next week. I'm going to try to give us some more verses that will help encourage us to add to our faith. And that comes by, I think it really comes more by being obedient to what you have than it is reading and studying more. Because God ain't going to give you no more until you're doing what you already know. Sometimes, though, I say, God, why did you show me that? I said, I don't feel like I'm getting done what I need to be doing in the other. And here you are, you show me something else. I said, you got plenty to accuse me on. He said, you're going to need it. You're going to need it. But I do know this. And if we need to take and appropriate what we know and let the faith of God work in us and become obedient to what we know. Brother Jim Sides, will you pray for us this morning, sir?